Tonight, let's look at a couple of places in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 10, and Joshua chapter 23. Let me just say something after you get to your place. You know, that missions conference was unusual in several respects, but one of the ways that it was unusual, you didn't hear anybody talking to you about giving. But I know several of you are concerned in your own heart about giving to missions. And let me just say this. I think you heard one comment that Pastor Joel made about it. You've heard me say something about it to you before. If you're not currently somebody who gives to missions, but you're thinking about that, take some time to prayerfully consider before the Lord what He would have you to do. And the reason that that's good to do is that you can be consistent with that. We began giving to missions in 1989, and over the years, the Lord has shown us what to do from time to time, and sometimes it kind of surprises you what He shows you to do, but the Lord's faithful, and it always works out, and being able to participate with missionaries in what they do through the church and what the church does is just a huge blessing. It's a huge blessing, and as I've said before, and I'll stop with this, there are 67 missionaries out there on the board that you support on a monthly basis. This church, I say you, the church, but we support. And no matter what you're able to give to missions, you have a part in everything that's going on out there because you do it together as a church. And when you think about multinational companies and you think about big wigs and they say, yeah, we're investing over here in Taiwan. We've got an oil thing going over here and we got a grain company going over here in Russia. And, you know, they talk all that big stuff. In a very much the similar way, but in a very humble way, you have God's ministry going on in Mongolia and in Africa and in Vietnam. And you're so much a part of what God is doing in so many parts of the world, and it's exciting. It's exciting. So if you're considering that, if the Lord stirs your heart there, just prayerfully consider that before the Lord. As much as possible, try to get a sense of what He would have you to do, and then just do that. It's the best way I know how to give to missions. Deuteronomy chapter 10, Joshua chapter 23. Let's look in Deuteronomy chapter 10 first and notice what's going on in the context here. All right. In the context, let's say in verse 8 of Deuteronomy chapter 10. At that time, the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to stand before the Lord to minister unto Him and to bless in His name unto this day. Wherefore, Levi hath no part nor inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance, according as the Lord thy God promised him. And I stayed in the mount according to the first time, 40 days and 40 nights. So this was his second trip to the mountain for another 40 day and 40 night fast. And the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also, and the Lord would not destroy thee. And the Lord said unto me, Arise, take thy journey before the people, that they may go in and possess the land which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them. So he's talking about Israel coming now out of the wilderness, coming up to the land of Canaan, and he's telling Moses, lead them so they can go in and possess this land. Now look at verse 12. With that said, with taking possession of the land said, look what he says, Now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but five things. Number one, to fear the Lord thy God. Number two, to walk in all His ways. Number three, and to love Him. Number four, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Number five, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes which I command thee this day for thy good. So he gave him five things to do in the context of going in and possessing the land of Canaan. Fear the Lord, walk in His ways, love Him, serve Him, and obey Him. You see it? All right, now go to Joshua chapter 23. In Joshua chapter 23, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, on the east side of the Jordan River, have already been destroyed. They were when Moses was alive. The Jews have crossed the Jordan River. They have gone in and they have begun to take the land in and around the area that Judah, Benjamin, and Ephraim inhabit around Jerusalem, south of there, a little bit north of there. They've already begun to take that land. Now there are seven other tribes that need to divide up their inheritance. So in Joshua chapter 23, verse 1, it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that's in that immediate area, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age, and Joshua called for all Israel and for their elders and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and he said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. You've seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is He that fought for you. So he's now recounting how they were able to conquer some of that area that they now inhabit on the west side of the Jordan River, between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea. And he says, you're able to do it because the Lord your God is He that fought for you. Verse 4, behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain. So there's some nations yet remaining, and they have already searched out all that land. They surveyed it, and they've now divided it up by lot, and Benjamin has his portion and so forth. Verse 4, I've divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even under the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, watch it, there's more work to be done. He shall expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight. And ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised you. Be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. You know what he's telling them to do there? Obey the Lord. Just like he told them over here in Deuteronomy chapter 10. That you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that you come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of their of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. Joshua's getting ready to die, and he's giving him instruction. This is how you do it. This is how we did it when Moses was alive. This is how we did it when I was alive. Now I'm fixing to die. That's the way you got to keep doing it. Then he says in verse 8, but cleave unto the Lord your God as you have done unto this day. That's similar to what he said in Deuteronomy chapter 10 when he said, walk in all his ways. Verse 9, for the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong, but as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000. Why? For the Lord your God, He it is that fighteth for you. So the same way that He fought for you is the way, same way that He will continue to fight for you in such a way that you are super powerful. One chasing 1,000 is super powerful, as He hath promised you. Verse 11, take good heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. Well, so in this passage we've seen that they need to obey the Lord, cleave to the Lord, and obey the Lord. Very similar to what you saw of the instructions when they were going into the land of Canaan. Now jump over to Joshua chapter 24 and look at verse 13. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 13, I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not do you eat. Now therefore, fear the Lord. That's what he told him to do in Deuteronomy chapter 10. And serve him in sincerity and in truth. That's what he told him to do in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. So he told them when they got ready to go into the land of Canaan, you need to do these five things. After they had initially conquered that land under Joshua and then divided up the remainder of the inheritance, he said to them, now you need to go in and get the rest of this, drive out the other enemies, and you're going to keep doing the same five things that you did when you got in here. Okay? So tonight what we want to do is we want to talk about this passage of Scripture. Let's have a word of prayer, and then I'll give you some context for what we're going to be discussing tonight, and then we will see how these five things apply. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Cade, pray for us, please. Amen. Amen. You know, as I read through these passages of Scripture, this thought came to my mind. Our bodies are like this conquering of the land of Canaan in many respects. Before the Lord God came into our lives, before we got saved, before Jesus entered, before the Holy Spirit took possession of the body, we're bought with a price. We were self-willed sinners on our way to hell, following the lust of the flesh and our own ambitions, our own desires, all those other kinds of things. And when we got saved, our souls were cut apart from our bodies, and our souls were immediately placed into Jesus Christ, and they were secure. Truth of the matter is, if our lives never changed after our salvation, the fact that we have been spiritually circumcised and saved and redeemed by God, those souls of ours would still go to heaven. There are all kinds of consequences to that, of course. So the point is this, that after you and I got saved and the Spirit of God came inside of us and He began to occupy this flesh, this body of ours, there was a desire on His part to conquer the land. To take possession of every aspect of the body. And so if you figure your land is like, if your body is like the land of Jordan, then down here where my feet are would be the southern portion that was inhabited by Judah, and up here where my head is the northern portion that would be inhabited by Dan, or this would be Dan to Beersheba in the land of Israel. And so what happens is that the Lord occupies that, and what He begins to do is He begins to destroy His enemies in you, sin, and areas where the devil had control. He begins to destroy those things so that He can make a new inhabitant of the land. And truthfully, it is a destruction, because the Bible says that when you're saved, your body is buried with Him in baptism. It dies with Him. Paul said, I die daily. So there is this continual conquering of your will, of your emotions, of your lusts, of your thoughts, of your desires, of your ambitions, everything. The Lord taking over in our lives. And if for Israel the conquering of the land of Canaan involved five things, then those same five things that were involved in the initial attacks and those five things that were required in the subsequent conquering of the land are the same five things that will have to take place in our lives for God to gain control of the vessel, to drive out the enemies, to possess the land, to occupy this area as His inheritance. The same five things would apply. And so when you think about that, and then you consider, back in October we had a Bible conference, and Pastor David Peacock and Pastor Rick DeMichael came and preached, and they did an excellent job. And you know, some of us got stirred in our hearts that there were some changes being made. Some of us made a trip to the altar and said, you know, Lord, this is what I'm going to do in my life. But there is a tendency after a conference like that to go back to the way things were before the conference. Because those conferences, there's a lot of powerful preaching in there, and a desire during that to want to do the will of God. And then shortly after that, the early latter part of January, Dr. Sam Gipp came and he preached, and boy, God stirred our hearts up again and made some moves like that. But then there's a tendency to want to go like this, and now you've been to a missions conference, and whew, boy, there was a night when we talked about a Spirit-filled family. Spirit-filled children, Spirit-filled mothers, Spirit-filled fathers, and the altar was full. And there was this excitement in the congregation, and I've had people after this conference come to me, and they've either called me on the phone, some of you that are here tonight, or spoken to me and said, you know, God dealt with me in this area of my life, and I am not going to do this, or I was involved in this situation, and I'm not going to be involved in this situation anymore, or I was doing this particular thing in my life, and I'm not going to be doing that anymore. And I'm thinking, you know what happened? God, through that preaching, conquered some land. Made some progress in your Canaan. But the tendency is for you to, and me to get to a place where through those surges of victory, we then become complacent where we are and then go back and cleave to the gods of the land and make marriages with the wives of the land. And suddenly some of that conquered territory, we settle in and God doesn't get all of the victory that He intends out of what He's been doing in our lives, or worse yet, we kind of go back to some of the same ways that we were before. Did you ever read the Old Testament? Did you ever read all of the Old Testament? Did it frustrate you like it frustrated me that God came in and delivered the Jews and then they go out there and the first sign of trouble, a little bit of a few days without water, and they're just murmuring and complaining, we want to go back to the way things were. And then God provides them water out of the rock miraculously, and then they go a little bit further and they don't have anything to eat. And they murmur and said, would to God we died in the land of Egypt. And then He sends manna down, and like that was no big deal. Manna from heaven and water out of the rock, and the next thing they encounter, and they complain again. And I think to myself, these guys are driving me crazy. Because every time they cry out to the Lord delivers them, and then they go right back to the same way that they were. And that just, you know, 30 years ago when I read the Old Testament for the first time, I just wanted to kick them. I said, you're so stupid. And then I realized after about 5 years of living as a Christian, I'm the same way they are. And then I kicked myself. So upset with myself for doing that. But you know, listen. If we don't incorporate the same five things that God gave Israel to do, then we're going to go back where we came from in September. It's not going to change. And God doesn't want that, and I don't believe you want that. Right now, you and I are in this place in our lives where we're saying, you know what? It is good to be closer to God today than it was before, and I don't want to lose that ground. And if you don't want to lose that ground then, you're in Joshua, I suppose. If that's where we last did, then we'll go back to 23. Let's look at what those five things are and see how that they would affect our lives. And the first one is found in Joshua chapter 23, verse 6. And he says, okay, guys, you're going to drive them out. God shall expel them in verse 5 from before thee and drive them out of your sight. Let me tell you something. You are not man enough, you are not woman enough to take on the enemies of God that are in your flesh. You're not, if you were, you would have already done it. You're not. Neither am I. And so we need these five things. And if we'll do these, God will drive out those enemies in His time. And the first thing is, verse 6, be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or the left. That is, obey the Lord. Obey the Lord. Now, obeying the Lord, I suppose you could say it's difficult. He says, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, and they did, and they did, and they did. Because the law doesn't have the power to make you do right. It can only tell you what, when you're doing wrong, looks like. But you see, in the New Testament, it's different for us, as you heard this morning. You and I have the Spirit of God, and we can be filled with the Spirit of God. And so now, if we obey the Lord, we have God in us, like Canaan, like they had God in Canaan, to go before us and expel those enemies. And He can do it. But I'm going to tell you something, He will not do it for a disobedient Christian. Listen, God did not conquer those enemies when Israel disobeyed Him. And He won't conquer the enemies in your life when you disobey Him. He said, well, what does it take to obey the Lord of God, the Word of God or the commandments of God? Read the Bible and do what it says. I mean, really, you say, well, that sounds too simple. You want to make it more difficult than that? That's pretty tough already. Just read the Bible and do what it says. You know, I have an opportunity to visit with people, pray for people in all kinds of circumstances, being the pastor of a church. Some are here, some are not here, some call from the radio, some are in hospitals, all that kind of thing. You know what? I found a common problem. Here's the common problem. People who are disobedient to God don't read their Bibles. That's what I found. And the reason they're disobedient to God is that they don't know what the Bible said so that they could obey the Lord. It's always the same. And so, if you are here tonight, you are here tonight, and you are not a Bible reader, and you want God to continue to conquer in you what He has begun to conquer through good preaching in the last week or in the last several months, you got to get in that book and read it. It doesn't work any other way. Now, I have heard repeatedly, so I'm going to say something that sounds very similar to something you've heard me say before, but I guess it's kind of like the preacher that came and preached as a candidate. Man, I mean, he did a bang-up job. People said, this is a great thing. Man, we need this guy. They hired the preacher. He came in. He preached on a subject. And the next week, he preached on the same subject. And the next week, he preached on the same subject. He did for 6 months. And the pulpit committee finally called him in and said, do you not know how to preach on anything else? He said, I know how to preach on a lot of other things. Well, when are you going to start preaching on them? He said, when you start doing what I'm preaching about. You take care of this one, I'll move on to another subject. A lot of people these days have a hard time reading the Bible. I hear it over and over again. Part of the reason is we are not a literate society like we were some decades ago. We're an electronic technological society. Have you ever seen how people text message? They even misspell every word in the text. You know, everything's abbreviated and, you know, praying for you, you know, I heart you. So it's not surprising that you start reading something like this Bible and it's like, whoa, what am I reading here? So part of the problem is the lack of current literacy. They're not reading the kind of books that they did that taught them literature when we were younger. Second, I think the reason is the minds are very distracted. You can't, your mind won't hold for any length of period of time before it's running off on whatever causes it to be distracted. They call it ADD today, or ADHD, or a number of other things. I talked to a doctor one time that diagnoses children that have those kinds of learning disabilities, and he said, I'll tell you, ADD and ADHD are new to our society. They didn't exist in our society 100 years ago, and the reason is very simple. Back then, we were more of a rural society, and everything was pretty well laid out for you. You get up in the morning, you do the chores, you have breakfast, you go to school, you come back, you do the chores, you do your homework, you go to bed. That's all the choices. Now they got piano lessons and soccer and volleyball and tennis and 1,000 things, and everybody's running all over the place, and it's ADD time. And if you got a lot more on your plate than that, it's ADHD time. Or like I said about one guy, he's HDD ADD. High def, high definition ADD. Big time problems. I mean, now listen, there may be somebody here that has that. I preached like this one time before and a mother came to me all upset. You know, you hurt my daughter's feelings, blah, blah, blah. I don't say that to hurt your feelings. You know, I really don't. I'm telling you, this is a very distracted society. It's not a very literate society. It's very distracted. You know, you're watching it on television. You go to the internet, just let somebody else tell you who wants to read about it, right? And so as a result of that, people have a hard time reading their Bibles. And I understand that. I'm going to tell you what to do. Get it on, get it recorded, and listen to it. Do you have an iPhone? You got an iPhone? If you don't have Alexander Scorby on your iPhone, download it from the App Store tonight. It costs you $20. Say, I don't have $20. Come see me. I'll give you $20. That may cost me. Listen, I have been reading my Bible, listening to Scorby read it for me for 30 years. I know what I'm talking about. I started doing it when it was on cassettes. Can you imagine me? I'd go with my Bible here, and then I had this whole thing of cassettes. What are you doing? Well, I read my Bible. Oh man, that was a lug around. Then they made it on CD, and the case got a little smaller. Now they got it on my iPhone. I don't have to carry a case. You say, well, I'm not going to get on the internet. Don't worry about it then. Get an MP3 player. They're the size of a business card, and download it to that MP3 player and listen to it. And get in the Bible. You can't obey it if you're not reading it. And when you read it, listen. You get there before the Lord. You know, we talk about Bible reading. I'm going to just tell you, I'm giving you some practical things today. Get there and say, now listen, Lord. You know, in order for me able to do what it says, I got to understand what it says. I ask you, please, when I'm reading today, two things. Number one, help me to understand what I'm reading. Now, when you're reading through there, you read through something you don't understand, don't throw away the book. Don't throw away the reading. Just say, Lord, I didn't get it this first time through, but when I come back through here a little on later down the road, perhaps then you'll be willing to show me what it means. I've been through some of these texts in here 30 times and I didn't get them. And then one day I'm reading through there and it's like, poo! And I'm like, how did that just pop off the page? I know how it is. Spirit of God said, it's time for me to show you what it says now. And so you just read through there like that and pray and say, now Lord, for me to do it, I have to understand it. Please help me to understand what I'm reading. And then as I'm reading, please dump those things off the page that pertain to me that you want me to do. And I'll tell you, when you read like that, listen, it's just like somebody took a LED really brilliant light. When you hit that verse of scripture, it's just like, talking to you right there. And he'll talk to you out of the Bible. I'll give you one example. Many years ago, I was involved in a situation back in the banking days, a kind of investment thing, way back there before I got in the ministry. And I'm reading through here, and I get to Proverbs, and there's a passage of Scripture there in Proverbs chapter 6, and I mean that thing just poof. And you know what it said? Get out. I mean, if he had sky written it, it couldn't have been clearer than it was. All right, so I started the process of doing that, which, let me tell you something, and this particular thing was an extremely difficult process and encountered all kinds of problems, but I knew from that instruction that's what I was supposed to do. There was no question about it. So I began that process and encountered some difficulties throughout. I even had to call Randy one time. I said, I'm unwinding this thing, and now it's turning out this way. He smiled at me. He said, well, what was your purpose for doing this? I said, to get out. He said, then get out. Thank you. God will give you good counsel along the way. And let me tell you something. I'm out. Did the earth shake? No. Did my whole life seem like it got a whole lot bigger and better and all that kind of stuff? No. What happened? God conquered a little more of Canaan. That's one less thing eating on my mind and heart. That's one less enemy that God had to contend with in my life. Captured a little more land. Got a mountain. So read it, give yourself every advantage, ask God to give you understanding, and when He shows you something in there that He wants you to do, do it with all thy might. Just do it. Second thing in here, that if you really want God to go on now with what He's done in your life up to this point, and I pray that you do, I certainly want Him to do it in my life, then the next thing here would be in verse 8 of Joshua chapter 23, cleave unto the Lord your God. As you have done unto this day, cleave to the Lord. Well, in the Bible, you know, the first time that he uses cleave in this context, he's talking about a man leaving his father and mother and cleaving unto his wife. So cleaving like that indicates leaving one thing, cleaving to another. Leaving mother and father, cleaving unto his wife. And to cleave unto the Lord, I kind of imagine a child. Have you ever seen a child with his mother or father and they grab a hold of that pant leg? And I mean, will not let go. And have you ever noticed when that child is holding on the pant leg of dad like that, and it, like maybe they come into church here and they're a little bit unfamiliar with the surroundings, and they're sort of, you know, giving it one of these kind of deals like that, and then somebody ugly like me comes up and goes, "Hi," and the kid goes, I mean, and they just take that leg all in like that. Sometimes they even get behind dad like this and want him to look at you. You know what they've done? They've encountered something strange in a new territory. Something strange. And they just right there cleave to the Lord. That's what we need to do. And I'm going to tell you something about this world, about this flesh, and about the devil. Every one of them is designed to break that connection. Every one of them is designed to break that connection. Listen, I look around here, we've got young people, we've got young men in here, we've got young women in here. Listen very carefully. You hear me say this, maybe you hear me say it more than you want to hear it, but I'll say it again anyway. Right now, God has conquered some of your land. He is getting more possession of your vessel. I guarantee you in the next few months, there is a girl who will enter your life to break that connection. I mean, some of you guys that are a little older, a little wiser, but down this road, you're shaking your head. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And you, what you have to do is when you see her, you know, your eyes will go like this. You go, ooh. And you grab a hold of, you get a hold of God and you hold right on. I'll tell you what, when you find the girl that's holding on to his other leg, then you're in the right territory. If you're both cleaving to the Lord, then you're in a good territory. Same with you young ladies. I'm going to tell you, I know we got to move on. Those guys out there that say they love you that aren't in here, they don't love your Lord. They're not cleaving to your Lord. And what they will do is they will take you away from God. And when they take you away from God, He is no longer conquering land in Canaan. You can't progress that way. He said, but I'm getting so old now. I'm really worried that I won't have a spouse. I'm already 19. You'll look back on 19 one of these days and say, boy, I wish I hadn't done that. Obey the Lord and cleave to the Lord. Do not let, listen, any affection in your life prevail over your affection for God. I'm going right to the next point, which is verse 11. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God. That's the third thing. Cleave to Him and then love Him. Love Him. Do you know that love takes effort? I mean, when you're young and you see somebody that you're passionate, that didn't take effort. It takes effort not to feel that. But as you get older, I'm telling you, love takes effort. It takes the nice cards and the nice words and in the flowers and all those things that none of us have done the last couple of months we need to get busy doing again. It takes loving God. You know, it's a blessing to get up in the morning and in the way that you address God and to tell Him, God, I love you. I love you. And I want to love you more. I want to love you more. Love is an interesting thing in this particular context because you have the capacity to love a lot of different things. So in this conquering of your body, there were a lot of things that you loved. Love sports. You heard a lot of preaching on changing the desires of your heart here recently in the men's fellowship. Also in the preaching during the conference, you heard about the desires of your heart changing. It's true. It really is true. The more you love God, the less you love the things you loved before you loved God. And when you cultivate in that relationship daily, by praise, by worship, by spending time with the Lord, when you cultivate that love by avoiding those things that He doesn't love, that love grows. That's why the Bible says that you may abound more and more in love. It should always be growing. And I really see this in my own life. I'm sure you've seen it in your own. When that love plateaus, it's not abounding more and more in love. Love is something in with the Lord that ought to be growing every single day. If He's conquering, if He's running out the enemies, growing, 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 constantly growing. Love the Lord. Then He says over here in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14, "And now therefore fear, fear the Lord." You know what? I think I'm going to be a lot older than I am and a lot grayer than I am if I still have hair. And I'm going to still be trying to figure out fear of the Lord. I know some things about it. And I know more about it now than I did. But this combination of the fear of the Lord and the love of the Lord is a very unique thing. But I'll tell you something that I do know about the fear of the Lord. If you fear anything, you don't fear the Lord as much as you think you do. If you fear anything, you don't fear the Lord as much as you think you do. You see, these Jews, when they were told to go into that land of Canaan, He said, don't you fear them. Don't fear their gods. And don't fear them. You just go right in there and do what they did. Well, you know, they didn't conquer all that land. They encountered some of their enemies that had iron chariots down in the valleys who wouldn't let them come down in there. Why did not they conquer them? Because they had iron chariots. Well, what is an iron chariot to God Almighty? Nothing. It's stubble. The same God that was able to drive them out by the thousands just sending a hornet in there is the same God that knew how to deal with an iron chariot. What did he do to the iron chariots of Pharaoh? He invited them into a river and then swamped them in the bottom of the river. They've already seen this once before. Now, I love what Brother Gibbs said when he was preaching here. He said, you've already crossed the Red Sea, some of you, and now you're standing there on the brink of the Jordan River and you're freaking out. You don't believe God can get you across that river. Oh, it spoke to me. In a particular area of my life, that really did me a lot of good. But you know, we're that way. If you fear anything, to the extent you fear that thing, you don't fear God. You know, a lot of times what happens to us is we fear people. We fear men. Some of us have feared our parents. I mean their approval. Some of us fear, they call it peer pressure when you're in school. You don't want to look like you look in here to your friends that are at school. You know, in here you'll pick up a hymn book and sort of fake singing a little bit, but you wouldn't dare be caught dead by your friends at school with a red hymn book in your hand. You don't want them to see you that way. You know what that is? That's fear. The fear of man, seeking approval from men. That was the problem with the Pharisees. They loved the praises of men more than they loved the praises of God. Anything that you fear will interfere with your fear of God. You say, well, I'm afraid of the dark. When you really fear God, you sleep and He's the one, according to Psalm chapter 4, verse 8, that allows you to dwell in safety and to sleep in peace. These guys feared those nations. And they backed off from allowing God to conquer it. You know, there are people who have gotten into sin with their peers. You know, they got like go start drinking and things like that. They do not want their friends to know that they have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, because they don't want their other friends to say to them, I can't believe you just did that. I don't need a crutch like that. You're a Jesus freak. You mean you're going to hang out with those people? Ridicule, reproach scares you. God wanted them to fear Him so that they wouldn't be afraid of anything. Not their enemies at all. Let me ask you this question and make it fairly simple. Do you trust God with your eternity? Why can't you trust Him with your life? Why can't you trust Him with your finances? Why can't you trust Him with your health? I know these things are real. And when those fears, listen, anything that you fear to the degree that people want you to fear health or fear finances or fear rejection, those fears prevail over God. And the Bible says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God can't conquer the land when you're afraid of the consequences of what your life will be if He takes over. Listen, here you are today, you're working some sort of a job, God's been stirring your heart about serving Him, and you sense He's trying to conquer the rest of this vessel in order to put you into the ministry, and you're like, yeah, but how am I going to pay the bills? And you start getting scared of what it's going to be like if you were to surrender fully to the Lord. He may send me away from my family. I might be in a foreign country. And you start calculating those fears. Guess what? He won't conquer that land. And that's because you get a lot more afraid about the consequences of fully surrendering to the Lord. Can't worry about that. Let Him worry about that. Fear God. And then finally this, and serve Him in sincerity and truth. So He says you need to obey Him. We've talked about that. Cleave to the Lord. Don't let anything pull you away from His, from the leg of the Lord. Love Him with all of your heart. And let anything that you love, that you love more than God. And there are a number of things that we have to deal with. It has to go. He conquers that land. Fearing Him and then serving the Lord. You know, we've heard a lot about this lately. This is the ministry of a body in this church. Hello? Somebody's just been called into service. It's God calling. Amen. It's body ministry. Let me tell you what happens here. We're talking about serving the Lord, right? Tell you what happens here in church. You come here, and when you first start coming here, either because you got saved and now you're beginning to grow, or because you were in a ineffective church and now you're here, you come and you sit a while till you begin to learn. It's what you're supposed to do. That Bible gets in you, begins to saturate you. You begin to become acquainted with doctrine and you begin to love doctrine and you begin to get acquainted with how the Spirit of God speaks to you through the Word of God, through the mouth of a preacher while he's preaching or teaching. You get used to the fellowship. You get used to a different crowd of people than you were hanging around before. God settles that in. For some people, that process takes a few months. For others, it takes a couple of years. There's no prescribed period of time because every one of us is different how long that process takes. But you sit a spell, as they used to say on the Beverly Hillbillies. You sit a spell until God begins that. And then what happens is this. God begins to create opportunities in this ministry for your service. In other words, you are equipped, you are that your personality, your makeup, your position in the body of Christ equips you for something so that when you, listen, get engaged like we used to do with standard driving, you get engaged, the gears that are turning meld with you, and I mean that thing just fits, there's no grind, there's no fuss, there's no problem, just melds in there like that. And you begin that area of service. Now that may not be the only area in which you serve, but that's how it begins. And then as your service grows for the Lord, then He may expand that in one of two ways. He may give you more to do, or He may actually not add to the number of things you do, but increase the level of service. He's got something for you to do. No, I think back, does it bother y'all if I make a personal illustration about somebody else in the church? Does that bother you or does that help you to understand? It depends what you say. Well, I'm going to tell you about a real loser that's here tonight. No. I think about this sometimes. I mean, the pictures are so vivid and they're right here in front of you. But I don't give an illustration like this to draw attention to the person. I give an illustration like this to draw attention to the Lord of the person. Okay, so I'm not going to do it. It's too risky to bring attention to the person. I've done it before. I don't want to do it again. You've already seen it. You look around. You've already seen it. There's a guy sitting here. He's doing nothing. The next thing you know, he's involved or she's involved in some aspect of this ministry, praying or singing or cleaning or building or preaching or teaching or doing activities or working on landscaping or cooking or nursery or sound. I mean, there's just no limit to the number of things that go on here. And none of it's orchestrated. Nobody's patting you on the back the first time you come in here and say, hey, bless God, we need a guy like you. Sit a spell till God does it. Now listen, that gives you an opportunity to serve the Lord. And when the Lord sees faithfulness in your service, He can trust you with a little more. I believe, even here tonight, I believe that there are people God wants to use to a greater degree than He's using right now. And that could involve ministry in this church. It could involve ministry outside of this church, pastoring or missionary or whatever that may be. That's way down here. Way out here down the road. But what He's doing is He's trying to get the gears engaged over here. And so if He's serving the Lord here, we're talking about the Lord gaining more of your Canaan. He gains a little bit with a little bit of your service here, but over time He gets you more involved and more involved so that you're more involved in your service to the Lord than you were in your recreational activities and other things that you do outside of the church until you are very involved in the service of the Lord. And all of that was to get you ready for this thing that He wanted you to do over here. Some people get the idea, yeah, Lord, I am willing to serve You. When You call me to the mission field, I'll go, and they're not involved in any service here. He's not gradually conquering your land. But as He gradually conquers your land, He will take you as far as He wants you to go, and when you end up in that area of service where He wanted you to be, He can continue to have confidence in your faithfulness because He owns a lot of your Canaan. And it's comfortable for you to be involved in that level of service for the Lord because He possesses so much of the vessel. It wasn't a shock to your system. Does anybody have a Vitamix? A Ninja blender? You got that thing where, you know, you turn it on and then it has this real low speed and it goes... And then you got this other button. Every once in a while, I forget. And I put that blender in there, and I put that thing on there, and forget that that wah button is on, it's early in the morning, and I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna go wah. So I come over here, and I go, wah! And I'm like, whoa, man, and I mean, strawberries are flying out of the lid. That's what it would be like if God got you into the level of service where He wants you to be from where you are now. Don't be worried about the fact that He moved in your heart about missions this weekend and you're not going to the mission field on Wednesday. He's not gonna brah, you know. He may just have you come on another Saturday work day. Got one coming up? No. Because, listen, He is slowly but surely conquering the land. When you serve Him. When you serve Him. Serve Him. Love Him. Obey Him. Cleave to Him. And fear Him. Listen, if any fear enters your life, that dispels at all some of that fear of God, fear Him, and that fear will leave. And you just stay right on track. Now listen, if we'll do that like these Jews were supposed to do as they finished up their conquering of the land of Canaan, we won't go back from the ground that has been gained. We'll go forward with the Lord, and He'll gain more ground. Amen. Father, thank You tonight for the opportunity to be able to see a picture in the Old Testament of something very clearly how we've seen this vacillation, this roller coaster ride of the Jews. I don't think there's a person here tonight that wants that roller coaster ride, and in order to avoid it, Father, I pray that You'll burn in our minds and our hearts these things that we've seen so we can continue to follow You as You engage us more and more in Your service, Your love, Lord, Your fear, Your commands in our lives. Lord, I pray, oh God, please help us to love you with all of our heart, mind, and soul. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.